so whatever that exhaustion has caused you to believe about the Lord, whatever your tiredness, whatever your weakness has allowed you to feel that the Lord won't keep you, that he can't cover you, that he's forgotten about you, I want to remind you that his foundation is so faithful. His foundation is firm. And firm means it can't be moved. Firm means it can't be shaken. So even when we change, even when life takes us through changes, we still serve a God who's still the same. So this morning, I just need to know if there's two or three people that are like me, where, yes, God, I'm a little tired. Yes, God, I'm a little worn out. Yes, God, sometimes I want to put this mic down for good and let it go, but I still trust that the same God who kept me before is the same God who can keep me now. And so, God, even when I'm weak, even when I'm broken, I'm still gonna bless you. Even when I'm tired, I'm still gonna bless you. Even when I'm worn out, I'm still gonna bless you. I'm still gonna bless you. Because, God, you're a keeper. Because, God, you're a sustainer. Because, God, you're a mind regulator. So even in my emotions, I'm still gonna bless you. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous still run in, and they're still safe. You're still safe this morning. Whether or not it be rain, whether or not it be wind, you are still safe this morning. Rain came and wind blew, but my house was built on you. And I'm safe with, I'm gonna make it to rain. We're not gonna make it. And I'm not telling you guys something that I've heard other people say. I'm telling you something that I'm experiencing, that sometimes I feel like I'm not gonna make it. Sometimes I feel like that the things that the Lord has placed in my hand, the thing that the Lord has placed in our hands, sometimes just feels a little too heavy. But can I encourage you this morning that he that has begun a work in you, going to finish it. And listen, you're gonna get tired. I'm sorry to tell you, you're gonna get tired. You're gonna wanna quit. You're gonna wanna give it up. You're gonna wanna let it go. But he is for you. And the things, the gifts, the abilities, the all of those skill sets that he's placed in your possession were not in vain. They were not just so you could say you could do something. There's a purpose attached to that ability. And all the Father needs for you in these moments of your exhaustion is to hold on. Just hold on. And I feel like there's some of us this morning that want to let go. And when I say let go, I don't even mean walk away from the Lord. I just mean you want to let go of the responsibility. Because it's tiring. And you're tired. But no matter what wind comes, no matter what rain falls, no matter how the earth feels like it's shaking, understand that you serve a God who is the chief cornerstone. He's unmovable. And even though you might change your feelings, he will never change his heart toward you. So this morning, all over this room, let's lift our hands. And this morning, this is not a lift our hands of just surrender. This is also, Lord, we're asking for a renewal. Because God, we're a little tired. It's getting a little tough. We need you. We need you. Our hearts, our spirits, they crave an intimate connection with our Father. God, we are calling out to you this morning as we've never done before. Father, we are asking you and we are pleading with you that we need you, that we are asking you to restore to us the joy of our salvation. God, grant us the joy that surpasses any of our understanding, the peace that surpasses our understanding, not because of our temporary situations, not because of our temporary life accomplishments, but God, just because you are a Father who sees us, a Father who loves us, a Father who adores us. God, we need you. Thank you for being the foundation that is gonna stand firm. Cause rain came and wind blew, but my house was built on you. Safe with you, I'm gonna make our rain. Came wind blew, but my house was built on you. God, I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it. Yes, I'm gonna.
Give a mighty hand to the Lord. Come on, lift up a shout to the King, the one who is our victory. Come on, just lift up praises to Jesus. He's the one who is worthy. We bless you, Lord. We give you glory in this place. We thank you that you are our victory. We thank you, Lord, that you never fail. God, we thank you that we're going to make it. We thank you, God, that you defeat every enemy, that you always bring us through, that you part the sea for us, that you bring us over on dry ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, shout to the Lord, for the victory is his. It belongs to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just right where you are, lift up your own praises to him. Begin to thank him for what he's done for you. Begin to glorify him for the testimony in your life. We bless the name of the Lord all over this place. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, there's nobody like you, Lord. We give you glory, glory, glory. Oh, we lift up the name, the righteous name, the mighty name. That's the name of the Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. God, we thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. Father, we thank you that we don't do anything in our own strength. And Lord, when we're striving and we're putting in effort and we're growing weary, Lord, we thank you that, God, all we have to do is look to you and your grace overflows in our life. We thank you, God, that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. God, we thank you that you anoint us, that you anoint our heads with oil and our cup overflows. We thank you for the abundant grace that overflows today. We thank you for the grace that we can lean on, the grace that is sufficient for us. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's sing that chorus one more time. Jesus, hallelujah.
Christ is my foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, sing it.
He won't fail. He won't fail.
Sing, he won't.
He won't.
Go ahead and sing it one more time.
He won't. Sing, he won't fail.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Never let me know.
Jesus.
So why would he fail now? He won't. He'll never fail us. He'll never fail us. He'll never fail us. Think he won't fail. No, 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 no.
Hallelujah. Come on, are you thankful to God today? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you. We thank you that you never fail, but that you always bring us through. You are our healer, our deliverer, our Savior. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise today. Would you continue to speak to our hearts? Move in us, oh God. Show us who we are in you, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And we bless you, Lord. And we thank you for moving in the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. If you're tuning in online, thank you so much for joining us. If this is your first time with us, we'd like to invite you to step into the foyer after the service at the Welcome Center so that we can give you a personal welcome to our church. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Well, we have a few announcements, and we're going to show that to you on the video screen right now.
Have a drink with me. Not that kind of drink. But I do want you to know, on December the 10th at 5 p.m., we're going to be having apple cider at the sing-along. I was just trying to figure out, like, what can we do to get people more excited? I know people are going to show up. We got bus loads of people coming in from different places. So I'm excited, but I wanted this to be an experience that you won't forget. So we, of course, we got the LED wall, we got the singing, we got the lighting, we got the music. We have, most importantly, the birth of Jesus. What else can we do to get people more excited? Apple cider. See you December the 10th, 5 p.m., doors open at 4. I would definitely get here at 4 if I wanted a good seat. See you then. Have a great day.
This Christmas, we are going to have a bash. A gingerbread bash, that is. What's a gingerbread bash, you ask? It's a party for Jesus, where you get to build a gingerbread nativity, play games, hear the Christmas story from the Bible, sing songs, and discover the greatest gift ever. It's going to be so much fun! So tell your parents to put it on the calendar and bring your friends too, because this is one bash you do not want to miss.
Do we have one more video? Okay, all right, that's it. Come on, are we excited about these events that are happening? I was thinking there was one more announcement, and I want to make sure that we don't skip anything. There is a Christmas Fellowship Wednesday night, December 13th at 7 p.m. in the Family Life Center. That's the third thing. See, I knew I had a good memory. So we want to make sure that you come out for all these events. We have a lot going on, and we want to make sure that we're celebrating the birth of Jesus together. We're a community, and that's what we do. Amen? And so we want to do that. And at this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. As you know, we are in the midst of renovations. We encourage you to give generously to the new seats that are going to be installed in the sanctuary and the other things that we have going on in the church. Just scroll down to the renovations designation if you're giving online, or you can just make a note in the memo on your check. And we know that God blesses us when we give. Pressed down, shaken together, good measure, running over. As we approach the end of the year, we want to make sure that we're tithing faithfully to the Lord. So make sure that you do that today. You can give by on our My Church app. You can use the QR code. If you're giving by cash or check, please include your email so that we can send you a giving receipt. You can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
I would like to share something about myself. I separated from the Air Force to become a full-time mother. And sometimes it can be a bit chaotic. Feels like I'm constantly on a hamster wheel. And so I remember going through my phone one day, scrolling through my contacts, just scrolling and scrolling. I said, man, I have a lot of people in my phone that I can call, but there wasn't no one that I felt like could meet the need that I had at the time. And so I put my phone down because I heard God tell me, baby, call on me. Call on me. I'm always here for you to talk to. It's not just the name, but it's where I am in that name that keeps me at peace. It's a comfort that I can't get from my husband. I can't get it from my family. I just can't. So, as we sing this song this morning, I really just want you to open up your hearts to receive the lyrics of this song.
Yeah. a name. That's a place I can run and be safe. There is a name that can heal. Calm my storm, peace be still. I can call on that name and be safe. Things will change, so stand and proclaim. There is no greater name than Jesus, than Jesus. Stand and proclaim. There is no greater name than Jesus. Jesus. Say there is a name
that can heal.
I can run and be safe. There is a name
that can heal.
Calm my storm.
There is no Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, the song said stand and proclaim. Stand and proclaim. Would you stand and proclaim that name today? That name that's above every name. Come on. That name that deserves all the honor and the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. He's the glory and the lifter of our heads. Hallelujah. He's the first and the last, the bright and morning star. Jesus, that name that is above every name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So glad that it works. Just the mention of your name. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, think about him for just a moment this morning. Think about his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, bless us now as we look into your word today. We find hope today. I bless those who are watching online today, Lord. Lord, everyone finds himself in so different a circumstance. But Lord, you know us all. The hairs on our head are numbered. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without your awareness. And we bless you today. In Jesus' strong, strong name. Amen. Amen. Come on, smile at somebody before you're seated today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. I leave behind a series on the prophetic words of the scriptures and the nation Israel. As we work on what God wants to say to us in the calendar year of 24, we will return to prophetic insights at some point along the journey. I feel very committed to spending December on the Advent season. Amen. And for many years I didn't. And I have a great friend who's a Baptist preacher. Many of you may know him, Jesse Kroom. Jesse Kroom served here in Ahoskie for a number of years. And I got to know him through the first time just doing a funeral with him. And then we connected together many times over the course of his time here at First Baptist in Ahoskie. You know, you get into the lives of other pastors who are serving and you realize we're really all the same. We have a little difference, you know, like when you go to the ice cream store, you may not choose what I choose. Just for your information, butter pecan. It's okay. No, I don't like cookies and cream. I do like Oreos, but I like a big glass of milk when I have them, okay? But ice cream, it's butter pecan. But I discovered that getting to know guys like Pastor Jesse Kroom, he's called as much as I'm called. And I also learned that he has things to offer me. And Advent was one of those. He shared with me just a little pamphlet. And it opened me up to an area of ministry that I just kind of had, yeah, that's too churchy. I don't want to do that, you know. But I don't want to miss this now, because really we spend our month talking about the Christmas season. Christians call it Advent because Advent means arrival. All of you that have kids know what it was like when mama had her pain, okay? you ran, you know, is it time? Should we go? Because you were expecting, somebody say expecting. You're expecting something. Something that would revolutionize your family, change your home, add to your bills. Amen. And you know what? That was a wonderful thing. You were expecting. And so it's a season that we celebrate arrival of the Savior, the birth of Jesus. And no, in all actuality, if you want to be realistic and truthful about it, Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. Okay? But it's the season that the church has set aside to call the birth of Christ, December 25th. It's a decision that you and I didn't have anything to do with. Okay? But we follow the protocol down through the annals of history. And so we're three Sundays away from Christmas. Three Sundays. Christmas tradition, there are four Advent candles there before you today. There's the candle of hope. Amen. Today we light the candle of hope. And I've asked Reese to pray a prayer of hope. Don't get excited. She don't smoke, okay? And she's not going to burn your house down, okay? She doesn't know how to start a fire, okay? Now is a good thing when I get to ask who does smoke, okay? You know, I just love live stream too. This is all going around the world. There we go. You know, yeah, you guide my hand. I'm not turning loose of the fire. How about that? Come on, praise the Lord, y'all. All I want for Christmas is a new lighter, okay?
Okay. Dear Lord, I just come to you today as we're moving into the series, as we enter to the Christmas series. Lord God, the first part of the series is hope. Lord God, I pray over this whole church and this whole congregation for anyone who is feeling hopeless. Lord God, that they lean in and know that you are the true hope and the true reason for the season. Lord God, that you just, that you sent your son, Jesus, to be the hope for the whole world, Lord. And that we, when we are feeling hopeless, when we are feeling lonely, when we are feeling all those feelings that you feel during this time and during our life, Lord God, that we know that you give us hope, Lord, and that you are there guiding us. And I just pray that over the whole church. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reese. When you get ready for ministry, bottom line is anything can happen. I was recalling, Pastor Joy, when you and I got married 42 years ago, July the 12th, 1981, we lit the unity candle, and I took my candle, it was lit, she took her candle, it was lit, and the unity candle was wickless. It had no wick. Now, wait a minute, we didn't go over this in rehearsal, okay? So we got smart. She had a little stronger fingernail than I did, and she took that bridal finger and she started digging down it wax. I'm going to find this wick. You know, she dug down there with her fingernail and appeared just maybe, not quite, maybe an eighth of an inch, maybe a little longer. There was a wick down there that somehow wasn't long enough, okay? But she dug it, and we got a little wick exposed, and we stood there until we had to melt a little bowl of wax around it just to get enough where it could get air. And we finally started with a very small flame. But we've built on it for 42 years. Amen. Come on, y'all. There's hope. Even in the moment when you felt like, you know, there's no wick there, how do we proceed here? We got it lit. And there's times that the devil's tried to snuff it out, you know. There's times the enemy's come against that flame. But, you know, what I thank God for the hope that we have that even helps us in marital hardships. Amen. I don't know what it's like to be this man on the screen. Pastor Joy and I were talking about it this morning when we were on our way to church. I have no idea what it's like to be this guy. I don't know what it's like to not have a place to go. I don't know what it's like to not know where I'm going to live, what I'm going to eat. You know, I don't know anything about those feelings. But I can imagine that that's a hopeless feeling. You know, when we were talking on the way to church today, I just said, have you experienced a time of desperation? And we talked back and forth about the moment when we felt a little desperation. But I've never, I can't relate to that. Okay? When I was in Bible college, it was Dr. Barbara Ray, who just went on to be with the Lord just a couple of months ago. She taught us sociology. Dr. Barbara Ray did an experiment. She was a classy lady. She really was. We signed up for every class we could take with her. She was a classy lady. Her husband was an Assemblies of God minister in the state of Mississippi. And Barbara was a sociologist. She loved studying people and anthropology and sociology and the blending of all that. And she took it upon herself, with the approval of the doctoral program, to conduct an experiment. And she went to New York City, and she hung out on the same city block for a week. And she was dressed with class, like she always did. It was natural for her. She was a heels kind of woman. She had heels on. She had fine nails. She always had her hair done. You know, she looked like she was fresh from the cosmetologist every day. She just had that class about her. And she hung out on this city block for a week. Then she switched gears. She dressed Reese like a homeless woman and went to the same city block and stayed a week. And she wrote a dissertation on the comparative lifestyle of the classy versus the rejected. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? And she told our class, she said, "You will never know." She said, "It was all I could do to make it through that final day, to walk that city block and be treated the way that I was, be called the names that I was called, be spat upon. Same city block, carrying herself from one persona to another." You know, that speaks to me because, as I said, I don't know what it's like to be this guy. I don't. I really don't. I have no idea what it's like to be hungry. Somebody said amen. What are you saying amen for? Amen. I get it. I don't know what it's like to be hungry. I don't know what it's like to wonder, you know, am I going to be able to get this car? Am I going to be able to keep it? Am I going to be able to make the payment? I mean, God has blessed us. We've blessed him. You know, we've learned the secret of blessing. Luke 6:38, you give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that it may be food on my table. We've learned all that. I don't have to learn that. I was taught that. And I've put it to practice. So I want to talk to you today for a few minutes about hope. And the first thing I want to do is define what hope is. Hope is simply defined as that feeling of expectation. You know, I can easily say I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this room right now. I do. And I want you to know that at the conclusion of this service, if you're lacking hope in some area of your life, I'd love to have this team pray for you and lay hands on you. Because I feel that there are those persons here. I feel that there are those persons online who lack that positive expectation of something good. Who was the old evangelist, Pastor Frank, who sang every service, every weekend, "Something good is going to happen today"? All right. This very day. You know, he closed it out with that. And I just feel like today something good is going to happen. In your life. Come on. How many of you want something good to happen in your life? Come on. So what is hope? It's that feeling of anticipation. It's expectation. We say in simple terms to define what hope is, you know, just something as simple as this. Hey, are you going to the concert? I hope so. Are you going to the sing-along? I hope so. I know so. But hope comes from an internal feeling that you would love to. You know, are you going to the prom this year? I hope so. Nobody's asked me yet, but every girl has that hope. Okay? I hope so. Secondly, hope is universal. This is an easy message, y'all. I only preach easy messages, okay? It's an easy message. Hope is universal. All of us hope. Every one of us. All of us are familiar with hoping for something. And all of us can relate to hope. Kids hope for birthdays that result in presents that equate to happiness, okay? We all want a birthday party. And we all want people to bring things to us because it's our birthday. We start hoping very young. We start hoping for, you know, I can't wait till Christmas gets here. Only so and so many days till Christmas. Remember when you were 16? You were waiting. You were hoping that it would speed up. I find it so interesting that when you ask a child how old they are, they may be 12. It might be December right now. They'll be 12 next November. They'll be 13 next November. But they might tell you in December, how old are you? I'll be 13 my next birthday. Why? Because they're already hoping for that next one. And when you ask someone like me, they say, how old are you? And you pull out your calculator and divide, subtract, you know, 2023 minus 1961, I'm 62. I forgot there for a bit how old I was. And we won't dare push it to the next number, okay? But we're familiar with hope. When I turn 16, what am I going to do? I'm going to get my driver's license and put my family's financial situation at risk, okay? Okay. Bless my daughter's heart. Abigail was, I remember Charles Hughes, the Farm Bureau agent in this county, said to me one day, he said, Pastor Wallace, congratulations. You have the highest premium for automobile insurance of anybody I know in Hereford County. Abigail had a few accidents. She sped a little quicker. She got it from her dad. You know, the apple don't fall far from the tree. And so we were a member of the big insurance club for a while. It took us a while to get off of it. And by the way, it's not fair, but girls cost more than boys, okay, in the insurance world. But we all hope for that license day. And then we hope for what? We hope that we get accepted in some college and we go to that college and we can let them put that level-headed mortarboard across us and let us graduate. Da, 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 da. And now we're level-headed. Hope we will be. And that we'll be level-headed enough to do what? Land that great job that pays the big bucks. We're hoping for a good job that pays the big bucks. Then we hope to do what? We hope that somewhere along the way we get a chance to be married and we hope to have kids and we hope they're successful and make their mark on the world, fulfill God's divine purpose for their life. And we understand hope. We understand the idea of, here we go, expecting something good to happen. It's a hope we have. But here's the reality. Hope varies with the person. Hope is different for everybody. I recently received this phone call. I answered the phone from a man who was probably somewhat like this guy. And he had lost everything. And he said, I'm homeless. I am jobless, Pastor. I'm broke. And I don't have family. He said, somebody told me, here's the clincher line. He said, somebody told me that you could help me. Well, I swallowed hard because I thought, wow, you just told me how broke, busted, and disgusted you are. You have nothing. You have nowhere to go. You have no home. You don't know where you're going to live the next night. Okay? And you're saying to me, someone told me that you could help me. That's a tall order. That's a tall order. It really is. But guess what? I don't have an extra home. I made my first mortgage payment at 49. Okay? I don't have an extra home. I'm not trying to hire anyone to work with me. I'm like most in this room. I'm thankful. I do pay my bills, but I don't have what you would say is an abundance of cash on that level. It's not something I'm familiar with. And when it comes to family, I'm like everybody else. You know, I'm just easing along through life, doing my best to make the ends meet and make sure I can leave something for my family in the end. Does that sound like normal? I'm trying my best, okay? But I did offer him hope. I listened to him. I didn't just say, dude, I can't help you, okay? I never told him that I couldn't help him. Because he posed that question to me. Do you think you could help me? I said, absolutely. I said, I can help you. I can assist you. And I listened to him. That was one of the most important things he needed, is an ear. I listened to him, Jalen. I didn't turn him away. And I offered him the love of God. I said, let me just tell you before we go any further, man. God loves you right where you are. He does. And I offered him the best counsel that I could at this time. I said, have you got a piece of paper? He said, yeah. I said, write this down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He said, okay, I'm ready. I said, I want you, when we hang up, I want you to just seriously consider 5 very important people in your life that you are relationally the closest to. Doesn't have to be blood, okay? You may say she's already always been a mother to me, or he's been like a dad to me. People in this room have folk like that. You've been like a dad to me. And so write those 5 individual names down. And I said, in all likelihood, and we're going to pray about this, I said, in all likelihood, these 5 people will be the heroes that out of that 5, someone, maybe 2, are going to offer some sort of at least temporary help for where you are. Probably not going to say, sure, I got a house in New Jersey, you can have it. That's probably not going to happen. So brace yourself. But maybe someone's got a room, okay? Is there room in the inn? Maybe someone's got a place that could be temporary for you. Maybe someone's got, you know, just a temporary answer. But you've got a deep, deep problem here, friend. And I don't know anyone that can just solve it all for you just like that. But I do know your hope is found in God. God loves you, and God wants you to understand that he's not left you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And so that's the best counsel that I could give him. And I kindly told him that you know, I was going to be praying for him. And I said, hey, you got my number. Let's connect again. And I want you to tell me in testimony then something that one of those 5 did. Okay? Some opportunity, maybe some place that they opened that was temporary. This man's hope was a far cry from what I just mentioned to you a moment ago. Like, he wasn't concerned about the next birthday, or he wasn't looking to be 16 one day or get his driver's license or have a car or a truck to drive. He wanted somewhere to go where he could feel peace and he could feel safe. And I prayed with him and I offered him the only hope that I could offer him. I pointed him to Jesus Christ, because he is our hope. He is our hope. Fourthly, hope has limitations. True hope has limitations. At the end of the day, he is our only hope. Okay? So the other things, ideas that you might have for hope have limits. You know, I love a pocket full of money. I do. But sometimes I don't have it. Okay? I love certain foods, but sometimes I go to the refrigerator just like you, and I open the door, and it ain't there, okay? And I don't want to drive all the way to town for it. So hopes have limitations. We don't always get what we want, okay? You know, some people don't understand the limitation of hope. I remember standing in this church one day many years ago, and I was listening to someone who came in, and they were explaining their need to me, and I gave them the answer that I needed to give them. And another person in the church that was here in this building that day overheard what I said. And they stepped around the corner and they said, "How could you do that?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, you turned him away. I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "But he needed a room in the hotel. And you told him that you were not in a position to do that." I said, "I'm not." I said, "Because if I put him in the hotel right now, you know what's going to happen tomorrow morning? He's got to check out at 10. And his problem is not solved." Okay? So he doesn't need a Band-Aid. He needs surgery. And we're not the answer today. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Some hopes have limitation. That's why you got to be careful. Don't toss your pearls before the swine. Don't misuse funds in one way that will just be wasteful. Look, write down five people, guy. Write down five people. You may sleep in the car again. You may sleep under the bridge again. But giving you a hotel for one night is not the answer. Okay? Hope has limitations. At the end of the day, he is our only hope. Matthew 6:33 says this: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the rulership, the domain of God Almighty, and his righteousness, and everything else will come in line." That's just a power verse right there. Every Christian should know it. Matthew 6:33: "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." You have to first seek Jesus above everything. And you know what? Someone who's homeless, someone who's sitting like this young man is, you know, when they start talking to you and you start talking to them about Jesus, that's really not what they want to hear. They really wanted the next fix, a meal, a place to stay, security. But security really comes in Jesus. Because if you get everything else in line, if you get Jesus Christ right at the top, everything else will take care of itself. It might be difficult. It might require some work. You might have to roll up your sleeves and sweat a bit. But if you put Jesus first, he will open doors for you that man cannot shut. Paul said this in Romans 14:17. "For the kingdom of God," listen, "it's not meat. It's not drink. It's not righteousness. It's not those things. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." That's what it's all about. Righteousness, right standing with God, peace in your heart that comes from God, and the joy that you find in knowing that you do belong to God. That's a good start. That's a great place to start. Young people, that's why it's so important to make that declaration early in your life. Make sure you've got that settled, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. And he wants to help you, and you're going to let him help you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Paul said his kingdom was not a matter of the meat and the drink, the temporary things. But he said the essence of God's kingdom was right standing. That's what this season points to. That's what Christmas is all about. It really wasn't about, I looked at the stats this week, Black Friday, it really is not about $9.8 billion spent by U.S. citizens on Black Friday. $9.8 billion. Buying things that in many cases they didn't need. Buying things that in many cases they couldn't afford, but somebody extended credit. Somebody said, "You can get a card, okay? You can pay us in February, you know? Sit back in your home and wore out furniture, and Haynes will let you get some more and pay starting in 27. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense for you to go down to this store on the corner and get a rent-to-own chair. It doesn't. Don't do that. That's not God. That's foolish. Rent to own furniture? No. I want to own the furniture. I don't want to rent it. In fact, I don't want to rent anything. I said, I don't want to rent anything. I don't want to be slave to the lender. Okay? I'd rather be able to lend someone something who maybe needs a leg up. Okay? $9.8 billion on Black Friday. Did you buy anything on Black Friday? Nope. Okay. Because Black Friday's every day if you know where to search, okay? It's every day. You can find a deal. God will open up the doors for you to get the right thing at the right time and pay the right price. Doesn't have to be Black Friday or Cyber Monday. It doesn't have to be then either. That's why there was 120 million individuals who made a major purchase online in the United States of America on Black Friday. 120 million. This season is supposed to point people to Jesus and the expectation of his reality being born into the world. That's what this season is all about. It's become so out of focus. It's become so out of line with what God intended. 2,000 years ago, God Almighty came down from the heavens and became one of us. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God is with us. He left the splendor of heaven and came to us. John said it like this, John 1:14, I love it. John said, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This, my friends, is the marvel of Christmas. This is the marvel of Christmas. This is what makes grace so amazing. This is the hope of our lives, that Jesus Christ came into the world. We have a Savior. We give our lives to him because he gave his life for us. Jesus came. God came in the flesh. Jesus was born. And here's the other part to it. Jesus was born, but he was born for what purpose? To die. John 12:27, record Jesus' words. Now my soul, listen to this, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me. He's in Gethsemane here. He's in the place of agony. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. He understood his purpose. Christ was born. He was born with the very purpose to die, to give his life a ransom for you and I. That man that called me was desperate. Somebody told me you could help. I can. I can help you. I can tell you some great priorities that you need to get on your life. I've been in circumstances so many times. Just recently I was in a situation where as I was talking with someone, the guy says, so you think you could help me out? I said, yeah, I think I can. Have a seat. And we sat and talked, and I realized the whole time he was anticipating that I would reach into my pocket, okay, and pull out something. And guess what? I didn't. I had it, but I didn't, because I knew that the Holy Spirit was telling me, listen, give him what is priority in his life, because if you put that in his hand, he will abuse it like he has for so long. And you say, Pastor, I just don't know if I can do that or not. I just hate to turn folk away. No, no, no. You better learn to handle the opportunities that God places in front of you. Everybody doesn't need just a little cash. They don't. Okay? Have you ever heard that person? I see it all the time. Man, I tell you one thing. If I ever win the lottery, but a carpenter shop's going to be in the winnings, because first thing I'm going to do. No, you're not. If we looked at your record now and you're not a tither, you could win the mega ball and you're not going to tithe on it. Because we're talking about your character. We're not talking about your win. If you're not doing it now, you will never do it when you win the lottery. Incidentally, how many of y'all play the lottery? Please raise your hand. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm afraid some of you might just slip it up accidentally. Don't play the lottery. Look at how much you've spent on the lottery and look at your giving report to Carpenter Shop International Church. How much have you sown into the kingdom? Have you bought a chair yet? You know, let's consider where we're placing our priorities. Let's consider where we're behaving to the manner of showing what we place our hope in. This is the week of hope. We look forward to Christmas to be ever reminded what our real hope is. That man that called me, yes, he was desperate, but I gave him solid, biblical, genuine, authentic counsel based on God's word. I'm looking forward to hearing from him. And I'm really expecting a good report. Fifthly, hope is deferred sometimes. What happens when hope is deferred? What happens when we're hoping for something that really doesn't happen quite the way we expected it to happen? Proverbs 13, verse 12 says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know? Were you ever told a certain date? Yeah, it'll be there. I promise you. Listen, I got the tracking. Have you ever got the tracking number and you didn't get the product? And you really needed it. You know? It didn't show up. And it makes your heart sick. But a longing fulfilled. Man, it's the tree of life, the Bible says. A longing fulfilled. Sometimes we hope and we hope and we hope. But the question must be asked, wherein lies your hope? What are you hoping? What are you really hoping for? Better yet, where do you place your hope? Number six, hope must be properly directed. It's got to be properly directed. Isaiah 40, verses 29 and 30. Check this out. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow weary and tired. And young men will stumble and they'll fall. But those, look at this, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Do you know that I'm 62 years old and I see myself like a, I just see myself like a, like he's just a trendy young person. I mean, look at my shoes, y'all. What do you think about them, Reese? Isn't it cool? They're called Penguins. Yeah. Yeah. I buy my shoes from DSW, okay? And that doesn't stand for Dylan, Scott, and Woody for the family back here, okay? That's not the Dylan, Scott, and Woody store, okay? That stands for Designer's Shoe Warehouse, okay? Why do you buy them there? Because they have racks in the back corner with labels on them that say, take another 70 off of this one. So I got these Penguins from there. Matter of fact, my wife hooks me up with my shoes. She got me 5 pair one day. And this is one of the 5 pair. I've had them for about 7 years. Okay? I'm just letting you into my closet. We don't pay full price for shoes. We don't pay full price for clothes. We wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall get reductions. Okay? Okay? We wait. We wait. Are y'all getting this? Listen, I love to shop, man. I love to make it work for my pocketbook. I don't pay full price for nothing, okay? And we wait. And the Bible here says that when we wait, strength comes, okay? Those who hope in the Lord renew their strength. And so listen, some of you are sitting here today. I hope you're not sitting here today feeling like this guy. But if you are, I'm glad you're here because you're in the right place because you are going to sit here today and receive a dispensing of hope to your soul. We can help you. Yes, we can help you. No, we're not going to get you an apartment for December, January, February, March, and April and give you time to get yourself on your feet. But we will help you by showing you the answer to all of life's complex problems is Jesus Christ. That's the answer. You get it straight with Him. And you will be able to succeed in your life because He wants you to succeed. Somebody say, well, why did you wait till you were 49 to buy a house? Because I listened to the enemy. I listened to the enemy tell me, you can't afford a house. You really don't need to have a house because, you know, God's called you and He's going to take care of you. And I was taught, conditioned to believe that I wasn't worthy of having a home. And so I followed that line of thinking for a number of years. And finally, one day, faith arose in my heart. And I realized that having a parsonage to live in was a blessing, but it was a false sense of security that one day it would happen that I would have to move out of that house because that house is not mine. Okay? And God enabled me to step up to a new arena because I placed my faith and my trust in Him. You know, I told you the story before. When I was in college, I went to the Hallmark store and I bought me a little cardboard house. It was about the size of an index card because it was really designed to put recipes in. I bought a cardboard house. I went by the Chinese restaurant and said, "Do you mind if I have a couple of your fortune cookies?" She said, "Sure." And I stuck them in the box. And then I went and I borrowed some Milk-Bone dog biscuits from a neighbor. "Hey, you got any dog biscuits?" "Sure. Can I have a couple of them?" "Sure." And I took my little cardboard house and I stuck my fortune cookie in there and I stuck my dog bone in there and I graduated. I had a level head. I graduated from Bible college and I pulled my family together in that little 700 square foot apartment that cost us $160 a month. And we sat at the table and I said, "Listen, guys, I've got good news for you. Dad finished school. Southeastern University, Lakeland, Florida. I'm finished with school. I'm going to get a church. I'm going to get a job." Okay? And guess what? We're going to have a place to live better than this. Okay? And guess what? And I pulled out the fortune cookies and I said, "We're going to go to a restaurant." Because in those days, a restaurant for us was Sunday afternoons. Drive-through McDonald's on the corner, hamburgers were 29 cents. And then we went to the grocery store right beside the McDonald's and bought an off-brand cola. Couldn't be Coke or Pepsi. It had to be the Food Lion brand or the whatever. Why? Because it was cheaper. And so we got a Coke and we said, "Hey, could we get 4 cups of ice?" "Well, sure." And 4 29-cent hamburgers. That for us was eating out. Okay? You say, "Well, man, that's just crazy." No, we were waiting. We waited on what? We waited on the right time for us. We waited on the right situation for us. Those who do what? Those who wait will find what? Strength renewed. I understand what it's like to struggle. Not like this guy. But I understand what a 29-cent meal times 4 and an off-brand drink is. I do. I understand that. I'm doing some cleaning up around the house here in the last few weeks, and upstairs in the garage next door, I stumbled across a pot. It's a white pot. Some older people used to call them slop jars. I've kept it all these years. I've been married 42 years, but I kept it. You know why I kept it? Because it was my first bathroom when Joy and I got married. My first bathroom is still in my possession, and I refuse to get rid of it. Okay? It's clean, okay? It was easy to clean our bathroom. You know, just one bowl, okay? It flushed real easy. Just like that. Never got stopped up. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on, guys. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm 62, y'all. Some of the young people are like, "Are you serious?" Yes. Absolutely. That's the way we lived. And you know what? I thank God for it. I really do. Sometimes your hope can get deferred and you'll think, will I ever get a house? Will I ever get a job? Will I ever land the good job? You just keep hoping. Sixth, hope must be properly directed. Isaiah 40:29. As I said, He gives strength to the weary, and you must hope in the Lord. The question that must be asked of every one of us today is this: where are you placing your hope? Where is it? Where are you putting the energy of expectancy? Where are you placing that? Are you placing it on Jesus Christ? Because I've discovered, man, I've discovered that God's word is so true. If you do this, and I've seen this pattern in the Psalms, it's like this. God says, if you'll do this, then this is what I'll do. Okay? If you wait upon the Lord, you will renew your strength. Okay? Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. It literally defines the message and the meaning of Christmas, that God is our only hope. It says the government, unto us this child is born, and the son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. I told you last week in my last message of the Israel series, there's coming a day, and I'm so glad when it's coming, that there will be no such thing as a Democrat or a Republican. There will be no Washington, D.C. Okay? For unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Last night our ladies gathered for the gala, and they heard about the Prince of Peace from Pastor Brenda. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there shall be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing, we talked about this in the last few weeks, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. See, you don't really think about this thing in Christmas, but when we've going through what we've gone through in these past several months in light of world conditions and the climate